Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows, and bread to the one who eats. So shall my word be. He's comparing rain and the word. And what does rain do? Rain waters the earth. It makes it fertile and fruitful. It gives seed to the one who sows, and bread to the one who eats. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. It shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. So many times on this program, I have mentioned or spoken at some length about, but I want to take the opportunity once again to say to you, the Word of God is your lifeline. The Word of God is living and active. That's what Scripture tells us. This is not just printed word on a page. That's the form by which it comes to us. But the Word of God is the living person of Christ, invested in his word so that his word carries his life, his message, his truth, and the power to live it. This is a living word. I've said to you so many times, and I say it again, make sure there's a Bible in your home and that it has a place of prominence. Let it be seen, not as something that you throw the newspapers on, but put in a place on a coffee table or somewhere where the Word of God is clearly seen when somebody walks into the room. You're reminded when you walk into the room. Keep one in your purse or in your pocket. Pope Francis recommended that very strongly recently. He said, carry the Scriptures with you, in your pocket, in your purse, wherever, but have it with you. Have it in your home. Let it be not some beautiful bound Bible that just sits there as though it were decoration. A Bible that is well used is a treasure. And what God will do by His Spirit is allow the power of that word to infiltrate your very life, your very heart. It's living. It's active. It changes you. It transforms you. It empowers you. It convicts you. It consoles you. It encourages you. Read the word and read it daily. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. God has a purpose in every single one of your lives, all those who listen to this program. God has a purpose for you personally. The word opens that purpose to you. That word helps you to see what you as a human being are called to, but also you as John Jones or Jane Smith, what you're called to. The word reveals ourselves to ourselves. It helps us to see who we really are, our strengths and our weaknesses. And as we live in that kind of truth, then we're in a position to hear God speaking to our own heart. But we've got to live in the truth of the word, not the truth of how I feel, not the truth of something I read, some article I read in a magazine, or some book I read, but the truth as it is revealed through the Scriptures. That's what you base your life on. That's what you base your direction on. Don't base it on these self-help books. They might be helpful to you. They might give you some insight. But don't base your life on them. Base your life on the Word of God. You know, people, when they're advertising their product, especially books, this is a must read. You must have this book. You must read this book. And people you'll see on the street, have you read this book? And so you want to be part of what everybody's doing and everybody's thinking, and you want to be thought that you're intelligent. And so you pay money for books that honestly are not worth it. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not. If you invest in the Word of God, then you're going to be able to distinguish what is truly good in all the secular stuff that's out there. There might be some good things to read, but you've got to be able to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong, truth from falsehood. Don't buy into the world's definition of truth. Let the Word of God shape your own personal life, and then you will know the truth. Let its values permeate you. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. This is the responsorial psalm, Psalm 65. You have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's water courses are filled. You have prepared the grain. That's what God wants to do in your heart. That's what he wants to do with your mind, with your spirit, even with your body. You have prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clod, softening it with showers, blessing its yield. That's the water of repentance. That's the water of baptism that flows over you and through you and in you continually. Do you drink from it? Do you allow it to benefit you? God gave you a free will. You can ignore. You can turn away. You can give it token acknowledgement. Or you can really live in it and live out of it. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothes the hills. The fields are garmented with flocks, and the valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy. They shout and sing for joy. Brothers and sisters, does God look at us and shout and sing for joy because of the fruit that his word is developing in us? Are we seeing fruit? Are other people seeing fruit in us? Make the word of God daily, daily, daily part of your reading. Daily. And Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. Paul had sufferings, you know it, shipwreck, imprisonment, floggings, beatings, and then all kinds of mental and emotional suffering that he endured from his persecutors. And he said, I count the sufferings of this present time as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to our corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's what God has for you, even in this life, is freedom. And the more his word shapes your life, shapes your priorities, shapes your goals, the more it does, the more freedom you're going to know. And I promise you that. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This is where we're going. This is what God wants to do with us and for us and through us. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell in the path, and birds came and ate it up. Think of the path as your life. What are the birds that come and eat it up so that you don't really hear the word? Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. Are there rocks in your life? It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. Sometimes we think, oh, yes, Lord, yes, I'm going to follow you. And then we forget about it the next day because the sun of this earth scorches our land. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. What to hear? Brothers and sisters, when you allow the word of God to shape your life, you're going to bear fruit. And it's going to bring you great joy. Is it hard at first? Yes, because it goes contrary to what our flesh wants. But once you've really embraced it, it will change you and it will bring you joy that I can't even begin to explain. Jesus says to them in a later verse, when they're questioning, why do you speak to people in parables? Why don't you say it clearly? And he says, because some people can't really hear unless I give them a parable. Then they will begin to understand. Some can hear me clearly. The closer we are to God, the less we need parables. We can understand, we can experience. And he says to them, if you follow my word, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. And then he gives them another parable. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word without understanding, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root, and it lasts only for a time. That's those sudden inspirations I was talking to you about. Our soil needs to be tilled, brothers and sisters, so that it can receive the seed. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil, brothers and sisters, the soil of those who love God and desire to follow him, the good soil of those who receive the Eucharist as often as they can, the good soil of those who spend time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament when they can, the good seed of those who frequent the Sacrament of Reconciliation to clear out the weeds that choke us, that causes our soil to be barren. We really do it. We don't just go through the exercise. We do it because we love him and we want the soil of our hearts to be fruitful so that the seed he plants in our hearts can bear fruit abundantly. And he says, the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. That's what God wants for us, brothers and sisters. And don't say I have too many other concerns. Let your concern be the concern of Christ, and God will take care of everything else. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.